This is Vocal Vixens, the podcast that gives women of color on television the spotlight they deserve. It's a for us, by us kind of thing. Vocal Vixens is a platform to give women of color a safe, open space to voice their opinions about the way women of color on television are portrayed on screen. This is episode 5, How to Find Love. I am your co-host, Karis, and if this is your first episode, hey, you're a vixen now. You now have clearance to be fierce, to be bold, and to be vocal. But don't worry about what you don't know. I got you covered. Here's what you missed previously. I basically wish that I was a Cuban American as I review the new Netflix series One Day at a Time, and I bonded with fictional characters over shared people of color struggles. Vixen suggested it. I watch it. I just did what I was told. We talked religion, we talked birds and the bees, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It was great. Moving on to other news, Valentine's Day 2017 has come and gone. So, in honor of kisses and cuddles, this episode is about, you guessed it, love. Vixens have spoken once more, and the Lifetime movie Love by the 10th Date is about to get dissected. It's the third installment of Vocalized, the four-part miniseries where I dish up some serious vocals about TV shows you request that I watch. You pick the genre and I'll pick it apart nicely. Before you get started, I want to shake things up a little bit with asking that live listeners answer these two questions. Number one, what was the worst dating advice you have ever gotten? And number two, is it possible to be friends with an ex post breakup? So go ahead and be thinking about those questions and formulate your answers down in the chat. And I am going to tell you what's going to happen this episode. So we're talking about the Lifetime movie, Love by the 10th Date. I'm going to talk about things I liked, things I didn't, and some possible solutions to the problem. Because here on Vocal Vixens, if there is a rant, there is a way. But I don't do this just to hear the sound of my voice. I do it because many voices campaigning for the same thing are louder than a singular voice. I do this to change the landscape of television for women of color everywhere. And when there is no longer a need for a show like Vocal Vixens that spotlights and showcases women of color characters, then we will be done holding TV and media to a standard of inclusion that is integrative for all women of color. And I'm pretty sure I'll be out of a podcast job. But until then, let's talk about Love by the 10th Date. So Lifetime premiered this movie 2 weeks ago, and the movie follows graphic artist Gabrielle Faithfull and her three besties, Nell, Margot, and Billy, all in different stages of their life. And it follows these four friends after Gabby tries to save her failing job and pitches an article to see if she can find love in 60 days with 10 dates. But the catch is, all 10 dates must be with the same man. Now, she doesn't have the best track record in the love department, so this Lifetime movie is a comedy. And it was a star-studded cast. The cast included Megan Good as Gabby, Kelly Rowland as Margot, Carrie Hilson as Billy, and Kelly Stewart as Nell. Now, the interesting thing about Love by the 10th Date was that it was written by a woman of color, but it was also directed by the same woman of color and produced by the same woman of color. Zynga Stewart has had previous success on the Lifetime Network with her 2015 film called With This Ring, and that was also a movie that had a star-studded cast, and that featured Regina Hall, Jill Scott, Eve, and Gabrielle Union. I know, you're probably like, what? How does she get all these people in her movies? It's crazy. I don't know, but she makes great movies. All of her movies end vaguely with each character growing in one or more ways, which is really enjoyable. So yay for character development. It was a really good movie, and I'm gonna start things off by talking about the three things that I did like. So number one thing that I did like about Love by the 10th date that you, Vixen, suggested I watch was the very modern setting of this movie, from the workplace to the dating apps being used on screen. It was kind of like a Tinder kind of dating app that was being used, to this very, very new thing that I saw in this storyline was sexuality being presented as a fluid thing. And it reflected more of an inclusive target audience to me. So like a younger genre, because, you know, I don't usually see that type of thing on Lifetime. And it was really awesome. This storyline had open marriages and bisexual identifications, and it even dealt with celibacy. So it was really believable for 20 to 30 somethings to be in this stage of life and to be these people that I was seeing on screen. So I really liked that. I also liked that the movie was pretty versatile. It was the perfect movie to watch for a bunch of occasions, like whether it was girls' night with your friends or date night with bae, or just a night of self-care with you, yourself, and you. This unapologetically black movie had something for everyone but the children. Do not show the children this movie. Do not expose the children to this movie. Watch this movie when the children are in bed. Yeah, this movie was great. Another thing I really liked about the movie was the character Nell, who was played by the actress Kelly Stewart. She was my favorite character in the movie. She wasn't the main character. She was the main character's best friend. Talk about a scene stealer. Her storyline was the most interesting to me because it was different than anything I'd seen from Lifetime before. It involved a relationship between a heterosexual woman and a bisexual man. And both of the people in this relationship were people of color. And I was just, my mind was blown, because that was a first for movies on a network famous for killer or kidnapping films. But her performances were really, really great. Everybody needs a friend like Kelly Stewart's character, Nell. She was so, so good in this movie that as soon as it was over, I stalked her IMDb afterward just to see what her film credits were. And y'all, she's been in the game for a quick little minute, which I did not know, but watching this movie exposed me to her, and it definitely made me want to watch more things and support her career in the future. Moving on to two things I did not like about this movie. Number one, the family curse. Yeah, I said it, the family curse. You're probably like, what? There's a curse in this movie? Wait for it, I will explain. In the beginning of this movie, Gabrielle Faithfull, played by Megan Good, mentioned that a curse had been put on her family that prevented her from finding a man. And over the course of the movie, it was never spoken of again. Poof, it vanished. I really, really wanted to know more about this family curse. Like, was it generational? Who started it? Can we get a couple flashbacks? Like, I really was yearning for some context, and I just never got it. So I was bitter. And that was one thing that I didn't like about it. Now, the second thing I didn't like about Love by the 10th Date is probably just because of my personal upbringing. You guys know I am from Texas, and it is right smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt, and everyone's religious beliefs and everybody's faith is very, very important to them. So that was my upbringing. And in this movie, there was a church scene that really exaggerated stereotypes about Baptist church services in this movie. And it didn't sit well with me, probably because of my background, like I mentioned. But the pastor or preacher or however you want to call it, basically forced the main character Gabby into standing for something called altar call. And I'll explain a little bit about what altar call is. Altar call is a moment in the service, or a string of moments in the service, where the sermon is over and it's an invitation for you to come and have other members of the faith either pray for you, with you, or to just explore the faith and have you accept it as your own, accept the beliefs and practices as your own. And it's a really, really special time in a Baptist church service. So when I saw it on screen, I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. I was thinking it was gonna be like a Tyler Perry movie where it's, you know, it has a really beautiful gospel song being sung in the background, and it's just gonna move me to tears and make me wanna run to the nearest church and, you know, just sit on the pews and, you know, relive the scene. It didn't. I was really high key offended, because I don't think that religion or faith should be exploited for storylines at all, ever. Another thing that I should mention is that I will go on to say that a possible solution to the last thing that I mentioned about the church scene offending me was she probably could have written it differently. And I'm saying that from my screenwriter perspective. The story would have been easier to digest if the scene had been treated with a little more delicacy. And I do understand that this was a comedy. Laughs are important. You want to make sure that you get all of them in. But I feel that maybe writing something where maybe Gabby, the main character, initiated the funny action instead of the pastor or preacher character initiating the action, in my opinion, would have worked equally well. So those were three things that I liked about it, two things I didn't, and one solution to fixing the problems. If you want to check it out yourself, Love by the 10th Date is available on the Lifetime Network website. I'm not sure if you can get it online via your cable service provider. I'm not sure if you can do that, but it's available until February 27th. So check it out. It is worth a watch, and I think that you will enjoy it. But speaking of love, I'm gonna switch gears for a minute, and I'm gonna tell you about the worst relationship advice I've ever gotten. In full disclosure, I'm gonna need y'all not to tell anybody I told you this, okay? I'm trusting you all. So earlier in the show, I asked you all to answer two questions for me. Number one was, what was the worst dating advice you've ever gotten? And two, is it possible to be friends with an ex post breakup? So I'm gonna answer the first question about the worst dating advice I've ever gotten. And short answer, the worst advice I've ever gotten was to settle with a good guy I met on the internet. Let me put this in context for you. I was in college, okay? I was a junior in college. I didn't really know what I wanted in a relationship. Didn't even know what I wanted in a guy. I didn't know if I wanted it to be like a full-time thing, maybe a part-time thing. I don't know. Maybe I just wanted somebody to buy me pizza. Who knows? But I downloaded a couple of dating apps and I had a lot of fun. I met a lot of people and I met this one guy who lived closer than anyone else. And we were actually at neighboring colleges. He went to Brown, I went to Johnson & Wales, and we just kind of decided, hey, we should probably meet each other in person instead of texting. But I met him in person, and not only were his Tinder pictures deceiving, nothing about him was attractive to me anymore when I met him in person. He was overwhelmingly boring, okay? Listen, he was, oh my goodness, a sheet of blank white computer paper was more dynamic than this boy. I'm not even exaggerating. He was boring. But because he was a medical student at Brown University, I was told that if I played my cards right, I would be, air quote, taken care of in the future. So the worst advice I ever got was to settle. Even shorter synopsis, after taking the advice of giving this boy a chance, I suffered through a couple of almost unbearable dates where he talked only about his hospital rotation schedule, and at the end of the night, dates would end with his really clammy hands reaching for mine and his extra nasally voice telling me how beautiful I was, wait for it, for a black girl. So I decided right then that whatever future I had, it would not include him, doctor or not. Okay, so that was the worst advice I have ever gotten about relationships. And I've learned since then to take any relationship advice with a grain of salt, because only you know your limitations. You know what you're attracted to. You know what you're not attracted to. So I think all advice should be taken with a grain of salt and really considered. You don't have to do everything that you're told. The older you get, the less you will do that. So Vixens, if you have any stories about the worst dating advice you've ever gotten, feel free to share them. But if not, I will go ahead and answer my own question to the is it possible to be friends with an ex post breakup question. And we have a Vixen who's sharing a story, and I am going to read it right now. It says, my girlfriend was going through something, and I didn't know if I should press her to talk more about it or give her some space. I chose to ask one of her close friends, and they told me to give her space. LOL, apparently the one person she wanted to talk to more than anyone about it was me, but she wanted me to show that I cared enough and to show initiative. Me not doing that led to major problems that in the end we overcame, but LOL, we ended up breaking up months later. So yeah. Aw, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry about that. Oh no. Now this is making me sad, which is making me feel a little bit better. I'm sorry, Vixen. At your expense, it's making me feel a little bit better than reliving my life and the worst advice I've ever gotten. But thank you for sharing your story. That was really nice of you. But back to the post-breakup question. I think it is totally possible to be friends with an ex post-breakup. I'm not talking Facebook friends, Twitter friends. You guys like talk and tell each other happy birthday every year, once a year. I'm talking like real friends who like connect in, you know, maybe go out for like drinks or something. In my opinion, yes, it is possible, but only under one circumstance. You can be friends with an ex after the relationship ends if you were friends before you were lovers. That's it. That's it. Just literally, that is the only circumstance under which this amendment to this imaginary rule will work. So if you Vixens feel differently about it or have a different point of view, you can totally chime in right now. There's a Vixen comment here and I'm going to read it. It said, you can be friends with your ex. I think it just depends on how you break up, really. If I'm knocking ankles loose behind her back and she finds out about it, I'm not going to be surprised if 2 years later we're not besties. Yeah. I mean, when you put it that way, Vixen, absolutely. It does depend on how you break up. Yeah, that's why I was like, if you guys were friends before, it will be easier for you guys to go back to being friends, but it also is contingent on whether or not it was an amicable breakup. I agree wholeheartedly. You're amazing. That's great. But I think that you have listened to me be vocal enough for this week. And I want to thank you all for spending time with me and allowing me into your ears, because remember, I am a co-host to each and every one of you listening to this podcast wherever you are in the world. I really appreciate it. And to show you just how much I do, since you all make me smile, I want to do the same. So here's something funny that happened in my real life. Kinda. I found it in my real life and I laughed at it in my real life. So it counts. Now that you know a little bit about my experience with doctors, this will make sense. I was reading an article on the internet, of course, about terrible dating advice. And this one spoke to me. It said, never date the doctor. He's probably taking the same medication he's prescribing his patients. This has been another episode of Vocal Vixens. Follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, and Mixlr. Don't forget to download the Mixlr app. It's available for Apple and Android users, but it's also a convenient website for computer savvy people who are not me. It's quick, it's easy, and it puts you right in the middle of every Vixen conversation. You can find past episodes on iTunes, and if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share Vocal Vixens with anyone you think will enjoy it too. Until next time, Vixen, be fierce, be bold, and be vocal. Bye.